This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is a show about technology and ministry, and we're up to episode 402. That's 402 for July 21st, 2015. Welcome back. And welcome back to you, Sally, to our little Wells Tech podcast for the 402nd time. How are you?
I am great, Martin. Happy to be enjoying some cooler weather here in Minnesota. I guess the Mississippi girl's kind of worn out, and when we have all this high humidity, I don't quite know what to do with myself. So got a little break this week.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. If it's cooler than normal the last few years, or if I just like it warmer and warmer, it's one of those, as I age, maybe I need it warmer, but it just seems like the last two summers haven't really been summers. I just maybe like to sweat. I'm not sure what it is, but we haven't had that kind of heat wave. You had actually higher heat temperatures than we did.
Yeah, we had some heat indexes up at 105 one day and stuff. And that would be the time that my air conditioner at home decided to break. So makes you appreciate
it. You got it back operational now?
We do. We'll survive. So, but yeah, this week nice and cool, good walking weather and all of that. Yeah. So
just in time to head out to Michigan.
Yeah, getting on an airplane this Saturday, heading to Synod Convention, an exciting time. I always enjoy being part of Synod Convention and looking forward to meeting some great folks there.
It's been interesting. I think this is my fifth convention, maybe six, I don't remember. Anyway, we've kind of watched technology keep in step with Synod Convention. Synod Convention it's long been kind of a low-tech affair. We have maybe some older delegates that are there, which is understandable. You have to take a week off, basically, to go to Synod Convention and figure out where the Synod's headed for the next couple years. So it's really kind of a business meeting and also a celebration of different things that have happened over the last couple years. But as we're kind of in the 2015 mode, we have opportunities to cover it like we never have before, with kind of, we'll call it gavel-to-gavel streaming, some special broadcasts, some news broadcasts, some man-on-the-street kinds of things, and just opportunities for everybody to kind of stay up to date. I know back when I was a pastor, Synod Convention was this big mystery. You know, what do you do there? All these people gather, and, you know, they talk about different things, and they make some decisions, but it was kind of a black box, so to speak. Now, not so much. You kind of know exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, and I think it's a really neat process to just observe, especially if somewhere in your future you might be a delegate. It's nice to have an idea of what's going on there, and obviously staying up to date with the discussions that are held and the reasons that the decisions are made, because none of these decisions are taken lightly. There's a lot of hard work that goes into all of the presentations and the resolutions and reports that are presented to the delegates for acting upon.
So who better to talk about the technology at the Synod Convention than our Wells Director of Communications, who's kind of the man, the mastermind behind everything that gets broadcast and done and communicated at convention. That's Mr. Lee Hitter. Had a chance to sit down with him, talk a little bit about what we can expect from Synod Convention, why you might want to tune in, and a little bit of their approach to Synod Convention, as well as we kind of snuck in a few questions about the new Wells.net. So let's take a minute and listen to our interview with Lee Hitter. So Lee, why is the convention newsworthy? Why is it big news? Why do we cover it?
Well, every 2 years, obviously, our delegates get together to really hear about all the wonderful things that the Lord has provided us as a synod and the work we've accomplished together in the past 2 years. So they hear the reports, and then based on that, they set the goal for the ministry plan for the next 2 years, the next biennium. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that not only the delegates are informed as to what's going on within the synod, but also the members at our congregations should have an interest in setting the direction and the vision paper what where the Synod is going.
Mm-hmm. So do you have advice for, let's say, the pastors of our Synod to help our congregation members kind of feel a part of this or be interested in it? How can they help with this communication?
Really by just encouraging them to go to our website, wells.net. Okay. We have a coverage plan in place that will have all of the print information, all the stories that happened each day of the convention will be immediately loaded to the website. So fresh content every day of the convention. We also have a live stream available for those that have the time and the interest mm-hmm. to watch all of the presentations while they're happening. We'll also then create video news updates, 3 per day, with the big newsmakers of the day, the big things that happened at the convention in a short 3 to 5 minute video, something smaller, shorter than the live stream. So really giving them a great opportunity to stay informed throughout the day. And then we're going to conclude every day with the Together e-newsletter, right. That will have all of the stories packaged in a print form available if they want to use it in their congregation throughout the week. But more importantly, just continue to come back to the website.
Okay. Give us a little bit of an idea of the ebb and flow, of the week. What kind of content can they expect to see if they go on the website and kind of follow along?
Sure. The first day on the agenda, it starts off with the President's Report, followed by an essay with the convention theme this year. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jim Huedner is going to be presenting that. Elections take place that day. A president and second vice president up for election, mm-hmm. along with a number of board and committee assignments. Mm-hmm. So that's really the bulk of day one. Day two, which is Wednesday, would be the all of the presentations from our areas of ministry are presenting. So that's a full day from our schools to world missions, home missions, our special ministries. All that happens throughout the day. So multiple reports going on all day long. We conclude in the evening then, a really special evening, with our missionaries, our world missionaries that are going to be there and be presenting in the evening. So we really start the live stream at 8 a.m. in the morning, and we don't really turn it off until 8:30 or 9 p.m. that evening.
Okay.
So there's a lot of content available throughout both the 2 full days, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the convention concludes Thursday roughly early afternoon. And Thursday morning, it's all the resolutions, all the committee work that has happened over the 3 days, all culminates in resolutions on Thursday morning, and we'll be presenting that as well.
Perceiving any weighty topics, any big discussions going on this convention?
Well, Ad Hoc Commission 2 has a report. There's an open hearing Tuesday evening. Okay. Beginning at 6:30. Recommendations, this is a committee that got together and have studied the last 2 years, all the areas of ministry, how the administration is set up, and they have a number of recommendations. And you can read what those recommendations are right now on wells.net under the BORAM tab, our mm-hmm. Book of Reports and Memorials. Their report is in there.
Okay.
So that's probably, besides the ministry financial plan, one of the bigger topics.
Okay. All the technology at your disposal, these years, these past few years, has it made it easier to communicate, more complicated? How do you feel about kind of injecting some of the live streaming and some of the real-time stuff that you have now that maybe we didn't before?
I think it's given a lot of variety to the end user as to how they want their information. If they want to read a story about what's happening, it's there. It's on the website. It's in the Together e-newsletter. If they would prefer to watch it live as it's happening, that's now available with the technology through live stream. And then adding in the news updates, these smaller videos that they can then share easily with other friends and family, is a good way to really take the key presentations that are happening that day in a smaller bite-sized version. Right. That they can share. So with the technology comes a lot of variety, and for me that's exciting.
Right.
Because it gives the end user the options.
Right. It's exciting, but has it significantly changed what your life is like? I would assume it adds a little bit of stress.
It does. There's a lot going on. Our main goal when we're there is to make sure the presenters and the things that we are they're doing from the podium gets presented to the delegates. Mm-hmm. That's the important. These are the 450 people that are in the room are going to make these key decisions right. regarding our synod. So that's our first priority. And that's what we're spending this week leading up to the convention, really focusing on right. those presenters to make sure their videos, their PowerPoints, all of their material is presented in the best possible way.
Okay. So you mentioned wells.net. That's had a total facelift at this point. Yeah. How come?
Well, the number one reason was it was not mobile friendly.
Right.
It wasn't responsive. 5 years ago, websites were designed for the desktop version only.
Right.
More and more people are using mobile devices, as your audience is well aware.
Now it's almost flipped. More people are visiting mobile devices than their desktop. Sure.
So if you're going to go through that process and move to a new platform, let's work on the design element. And mm-hmm. we've created a beautiful designed website, a homepage that, like on your device, is now scrolling. There is right. so much more content on that homepage. It's easier for the visitor to navigate, get easy access to the information they want right there on the homepage.
Right.
And then increase navigation through the menu bar.
Mm-hmm.
And increase searchability and right. advanced search. Function.
Right.
So it was all designed to be easier, more appealing, more images. We're an image-based society.
Right.
We love our images. People love to share images. We want to make that sharing easier through social media.
Right.
And we have a mobile app that is gaining popularity and has, I believe, 17,000 downloads.
Right.
You would know better.
Yep.
As in charge of that process.
Right.
Let's enhance that entire user experience for the people that are coming to wells.net.
Yep. Feedback so far?
Feedback has been positive. There have been a few glitches with a few of the items, which would be in any rollout.
Right.
But generally, once people realize how to navigate differently on the site
right. Everything's
and where the
here.
Content is
right.
there, right, the call report list isn't where it was on the old site. Once they find out where that information is,
right.
the Q&A section, all of the popular content is there. It's just located in a little bit different place.
Right.
And once they get familiar with it, I think it's really going to enhance that experience and give them opportunities to share that content with
that's a big deal,
more people.
Right. I mean, that's the whole point, right?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah,
that outreach opportunity.
God's word and get those opportunities in the hands of the people. New features, anything new content-wise come into the site, or was it just kind of repackaging what was already there and then go from there?
Yeah, probably the biggest new element is the Wells Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
Right now on right. the Wells homepage, up in the menu, you click on the Resource Center. It gives all the areas of ministry, all their public content that
right.
they want to share, forms, downloadable videos, all of that information is now located there.
Okay.
It isn't on a separate Connect intranet site
right.
for people to try to find.
Yep. Simplified that whole process.
It did.
Right? Just go to wells.net.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Again, the video content was always there before. It's now front and center on the home page.
Yep.
It gives us greater flexibility to move that content to the home page and get it to the people that are looking
right.
for it.
Millions of people visit wells.net. What are some of the most popular places that they go to?
Obviously, the daily devotion
right.
Is a big driver. The Wells Q&A site.
Mm-hmm.
Call report to a certain extent,
yep.
Mainly for Wells members that are interested
right.
to see where our called workers are going. But the Q&A section, the What We Believe is very popular
mm-hmm.
as for not only for our Wells members, but for other folks that
right.
are looking to find out what is Wells,
yep.
what's it
our
all about, what are our schools. And what do they have available.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wells Locator. I mean, it's something that people
right.
are planning trips, especially in the summertime
right.
now. Where am I going to worship when I'm on vacation in a different state?
Right.
It's a great tool.
I've noticed over the last couple years, kind of a renewed emphasis on being very timely. So President
yeah.
Schrader wrote an article that we published on same-sex marriage, those kinds of things. Is that a focus for your department?
It is. Rather than waiting, on a schedule for the Together e-newsletter, which is the first and third Tuesday of each month. Mm-hmm. When news happens, you have to get that fresh content out there. People are looking for it when the discussion is taking place nationwide.
Right.
People want to know where we stand. Mm-hmm. So we have a president that's very responsive to that. I can walk into his office and say, we really need to get something up before noon on this topic, and it will happen. So that's the focus, and also using and greater leverage on our Facebook page and Twitter accounts to really push that content to that audience.
Right, good. Future plans, where do we go from here? You got something, get your crystal ball out, and where do we, what
well,
do
we just came
like
out with a brand new design. We tried to package everything.
Keep it going.
I know, absolutely. Probably the biggest opportunity, I think, are in videos.
Yeah.
Having a small studio like this within our building, where each area of ministry can come up with 2 to 3 minute short videos that they can produce and get up on the website for their members to share. I think that's the greatest opportunity.
Okay. If people want to give you feedback, how do they do that?
Well, they can certainly email me directly at lee.hitter@wells.net. That's the best way. I'd love to hear. Yeah, there's a contact us form that goes to an anonymous account, but it'll get directed to me. But yeah, we want feedback on the site, but and we're aware of some of the glitches that we're dealing with right now with the app and the website, and we're working through that. So I'm looking for patience as well from our members.
We're working at it. Great tool, Lee. Thank you for taking the time. Blessings on your work at Synod Convention.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Good job, Martin.
Good job, Lee. Lee and his team, just kudos to him and the team. They have been such a blessing to work with, and the whole rollout of Wells.net couldn't have happened without their hard work and their cooperation, and just super people to work with. So should probably do a shout out to not only Lee, but his team, Brianna Lambrecht, Amanda Klemp, and Sarah Horn had a lot to do with getting this site up and running and continue to maintain it. And then, of course, our own Julie Duran and Debbie Kameen working in the technology group, making all the technologies happen behind the scenes, putting all the documentation together, doing the training, et cetera, et cetera. It truly is a team effort. It was fun to watch it come to life. And you know, probably from previous experiences, Sally, maybe even the last Wells.net launch, that it's not an insignificant thing.
No, it isn't. We're actually going through something similar here at MLC right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys will be looking at a new MLC redesign on a new platform that's mobile friendly and responsive by Christmas time, around that time period, beginning of the new year. So yeah, it's
fun.
A big undertaking.
Yep. Same platform, right? Yeah. WordPress.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So.
All right. Maybe just close out this portion of the conversation with kind of some application, some congregation or school level application. I think there is certainly some wisdom in maybe treating some of the events that happen at a church, that happen at a school, like a synod convention, and provide some coverage for it. So I think there's a lot in our churches and schools about promoting the events as they come up, and that's certainly valuable, but you can gain, I think, as much traction and as much PR, let's say, in reporting on and sharing news from those events, whether that's pictures or video or written documents other than just kind of minutes, web pages that could be put together, just all kinds of different reporting kinds of tools after the fact that are going to be just maybe even more valuable than kind of the promotion of, hey, come to the event or pay attention to the event.
Yeah, and even on the social media side, I wonder if Synod Convention has a hashtag. We definitely had a hashtag that we promoted at Wells Tech Conference, and so it's not just you that's promoting the event, but you're engaging all those participants who are there and part of it to use a certain hashtag so that they can be grouped together, and all of those pictures and tweets and whatever it may be can come together.
Kind of a living history, and then after the fact, you can go back to it and kind of see the activity and the buzz around it. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So that's kind of Synod Convention in a nutshell. Just a reminder that it starts next Tuesday morning, Actually, Monday evening is the opening service, which is not streamed, but Tuesday morning, I believe, 8 o'clock Eastern would be the start of convention. And if you go to livestream.com/WellsLive, you'll be able to follow that along, or just go to the Senate's website and get all that information. So,
looking forward to it. Looking forward to being there, and looking forward to broadcasting Wells Tag next Tuesday from
Senate convention. Yeah, 4 o'clock. That'll probably be 4 o'clock Eastern then. We're throwing everybody off. Yeah, I think so.
I guess so. Well, that'll throw me off. So 4 o'clock Eastern, I'm really bad at this. I always think of New Year's. If it's 4 o'clock there, it's 3 o'clock here then.
Yep.
3 o'clock Central next week.
Yep. All right, let's go to our news and tech section. And one of the things that I think has been in the news a lot, and you would probably have heard of it if you paid attention to the internet at all, or even maybe your computer was telling you, Windows 10, new version coming out. Ran across an article, when should I upgrade to Windows 10? And that's a question probably for a lot of people who manage technology at a church or school. Do we upgrade? So it's something that I think a question that has to be asked and answered. And it's maybe not one that you're going to be able to figure out just kind of by sitting around the table. You're going to have to do some reading, because there are some features and functionality that are different. There's a training curve, learning curve for your people that you're going to have to kind of keep in mind as you roll this out. There are definitely some advantages. I think it's a good operating system. Myself, I've used it, but it does take a little bit of learning to get used to it. One piece of good news is if you are already a Windows 7 or 8 owner, if you have a license already, Windows 10 is free. So that it doesn't have to necessarily be part of your equation or your thinking. It does only last for a year. So from now, from the launch, which is next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, July 29th, I believe, through the following year, July 29th, you can get it for free if you already have a license. So that's big news right now.
So you can get it for free and continue to use it past that year?
Yes. Never will have to pay for it, correct?
Okay. But if you have Windows 7 and you don't upgrade until August 1st, 2016, you're going to be paying for it.
Okay, correct.
Clear. Thank you very much for that. I didn't know that piece of information. I have a little news to share as well. This is kind of breaking news, and I should be up here at the top of this article from the Google Drive blog. Just announced today that they have a Google Drive plugin for Microsoft Office. So this will allow you to save files directly to your Google Drive, to open files from your Google Drive. It just integrates nicely with Microsoft Office, and brand new today. So apparently it's a plug-in. Maybe there's some installation required, but it looks like it's a pretty easy thing to do. I know I've been using this kind of functionality within Office to access my OneDrive, the Microsoft cloud-based storage, and it's really nice that it's right there and easy access and things. When you go to save things, it comes right up. So it'll be good to have Google Drive in that list as well.
Yep. Tom Rosenow just offered a comment, which was very timely. He said, "Hey, Martin and Sally, love the live stream." Thanks, Tom. Wanted to share this if you have feedback yet today. Google, let's say, what does it say? Google files are integrated into Office. Yes.
Yeah. Yep, Tom, it was already on our mind map, but you were so on top of things. Just very, very timely.
Thanks for sharing. And by the way, that's a great reason to join live, because you can ask questions or make comments right along with us. So, yeah, this is big news. And I think there have been kind of rumblings, I think, with Office trying to integrate with Dropbox and Box and, you know, some of these cloud services. And this just makes good sense. So
very good. We've got a little bit of Wells Now news, because there's an event coming up on August 14th at the Brewer Stadium there in Milwaukee. It's going to be Wells Night at Miller Park. Sounds like a very fun event. There's going to be some tailgating before the game. Hopefully a lot of Wells members will be there to meet and greet each other. I believe there's someone special even throwing out the first pitch at the game, Mark.
Yeah, lefty Mark, President Mark Schrader is going to be throwing out the first pitch. So we'll have to have the Ben Gay ready.
That's pretty exciting. What a thrill for him, huh?
Yeah, that is cool. Yep. And Koine is singing the national anthem. So
wells
all over the place. So if you are in the area, August 14th, I believe that's a Friday night, go to the Synod's website to get more information. But that is Wells Night. You can get special pricing for certain sections of the stadium and take advantage of that. So
cool. Awesome.
Let's move on to our tips and picks, tips or picks of the week. Sally, what have you got today?
Mine is Google-centric again, and it's an upgrade to security with Google Drive. And this is pretty exciting because oftentimes you may create Drive files and want to share them, perhaps even publicly if you're doing a presentation or whatever it may be. But there's very little protection, at least the way the security used to be, from people just blatantly copying your files and using them or changing them or whatever. And so it's nice to have people to share it, to have people link to it and view it and get ideas maybe or share the link themselves. But now Google has upgraded their security. I have a little screenshot here that I'm showing if you're watching the video online. So when you go into the security screen and you invite people or you give it certain access, there are now extra settings at the bottom of the screen. The first one says prevent editors from changing access and adding new people. So if you allow them to edit, they potentially could share it further without this option, which has now been added. But the biggie is the second option here, disable options to download, print, and copy for commenters and viewers. So if you only give them view or comment access, they aren't going to be allowed to save a copy of the file, to download a copy of the file, none of those things if you check that box. Now, certainly there may be circumstances where you want them to be able to download the file or have their own copy and do their own thing with it, and that's still fine. You just leave this unchecked. But this video that I will link to in the show notes is from the Guru website, theguru.com, and he demonstrates the fact that when you set this up and they open the files, they can't do any of those things. They can't even screen scrape it. Like,
I suppose they could do they could do a print screen that way,
but
you snag it or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could take a picture and share that. And so that's still a possibility, but not anything electronic, not even a control C will work. The copy, right-click copy function is gone, all of that. And he demonstrates it. Like I said, if you watch his video, you can see it in action. So it's just another layer of security that's certainly appropriate, I would think, for some folks as they share things from their drive, letting people look at it but not make their own copies. So thanks, Google, for that.
Nice tip. I think that's incredibly useful. It almost looks like an add-on they've got in a big yellow box at the bottom, because they actually probably could have created different permission levels for that. So that makes me think they're maybe mm-hmm. trying it out, see how this works, and then maybe better integrate it, you know, as they move forward. But
so
that's cool.
Full disclosure, the yellow box was added by yours truly.
Yellow
box is not a Google thing. I just highlighted that area so it would be obvious to you, Martin, when you looked at it.
Maybe it is permanent thing. But that's a great, I think that makes a lot of sense, because there have been times where, boy, I wish, you know, this could be protected just kind of in a view-only fashion. So,
yeah, cool. For sure.
All right. My pick or tip, so to speak, is I don't know if we've ever talked about this tool before. Swarm is the name of the tool. You've probably heard of Foursquare. Foursquare was one of the first location sharing apps. Where you could check in at a location. You get to a restaurant, you use your smartphone, say, hey, I'm here, and let all your friends know that you are here. Foursquare kind of got out of that and went more into the Yelp business, where they're doing ratings and those kinds of things, and created a separate app called Swarm for check-in. Unfortunately, what happened with Swarm, one of the most popular features, they yanked out pretty soon after they started it, where there was no mayorship, so you couldn't kind of gamify. They took out the gamification, so to speak. They've added that back in now, so I think that's increased its usefulness. But the tip really is the check-in process, because what you can do with Swarm is check in and then notify any followers you might have both on Swarm or Foursquare, but also on Twitter or Facebook or other social networks. And I think there's application here, and Facebook has the same thing. Facebook has had check-in for a long time. Why not encourage your members on a Sunday morning to check in? Statement of faith, right? That 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, I'm not my head is not on the pillow, my butt is in the pew, so to speak. So you've got an opportunity to say, hey, this is what's important to me, just by a simple little check-in. And it's kind of fun too, and you have opportunities to do that for Bible class and other things as well. So just with a little bit of an encouragement, I think you can get some mileage out of letting people know what is important in your life. And Swarm, apps like Swarm and Facebook make that real easy to do. So that is my tip of the week.
Very good. I think really with Instagram, you can even indicate where you're located and stuff.
Do you do any check-ins, Sally?
I don't make it a standard practice, but I have checked in at church before, and it's fun to communicate with other people who've checked in and things like that. Yeah, so that is cool. I think it maybe is more applicable in a bigger city. Yeah, I don't know.
So. Yeah.
Where there's, more people around that are checking in and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's more of an urban thing, but I think that because, it's a virtual community. Just the fact that, hey, you're making a statement that, hey, I went to church is kind of cool. So something to consider.
Definitely.
Should we move on to community feedback, Sally?
We have some community feedback, Martin. And interestingly enough, the first one is from you. You tweeted about an article from TNW News, 19 Tools to Start Your Podcast from Scratch.
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting article, especially for those of you that are considering maybe going into this podcasting business. It seems to be popular. There was a Fortune article on it, wondering, why businesses now are doing it. So there's something to this. And this article I liked because they went kind of by the numbers and told you really all the tools that might come in handy if you are thinking about doing a podcast. And they group them into six categories: planning and creation tools. So they have things like Evernote, Writer Duet, which I was not familiar with, and scheduling tools like Doodle. And then you've got your in-studio tools, things like Skype, Google Hangouts, like we use, Google Voice for taking voicemail, like we use as well. Maybe even how to set up your studio with soft furniture, etc. And then they go into editing and posting tools, so Audacity and GarageBand, a few things for sound effects, music, post-production, that kind of stuff. How to kind of prep it for your MP3 file with tagging and transcription tools. How to market it, how to use things like WordPress, like we use, Feed Validator to make sure your RSS feed is up to snuff so that people like iTunes can grab the feed. Social media scheduling, emailing with MailChimp, those kinds of things. And then where to spend money on your podcast, like mics, podcast cover art, podcast hosting services. Just a really helpful article if you are thinking about getting into podcasting. They give a little bit of the pluses and minuses, and this is kind of best of breed stuff. And a lot of these tools are totally free. So good tool, good article if you're interested in trying to get into the podcasting business.
And I could see that being a channel for congregations and schools potentially. I've seen schools allow their students to have a regular, maybe like a news podcast or something, to give them the opportunity to do some audio video work and be creative and learn in the process. Maybe pastors want to record a daily devotional thought, or maybe some of their teaching series that they develop for Bible class or whatever and podcast those instead of just doing them in the local congregation in real time. So I think there's lots of creative uses for it, and the barriers to entry are practically nothing. I mean, right. You can get better and better at it, I would think, but you certainly could get started for basically free. So right.
Good tools. So good article. We heard from Alan Bunt, didn't we? One of our faithful Wells Tech listeners and winner of the MacBook Pixel.
Very happy winner of the Wells Tech conference giveaway grand prize.
Loved his picture that we used for last week's show. Awesome.
Yeah, he was super excited. And basically, he just tweeted out a link to the five best things about Google Chromebook Pixel. It's a video overview done by a group called the Android Magazine. I wasn't familiar with them. Sounds like the guy maybe is British or from Australia or something. He's got a bit of an accent. But it was a good overview of the Pixel and some of the features that make it stand apart from the rest, because it's a really nice computer. Super fast, solid state drive. No local data, basically, to speak of that's stored, because you're really relying on the cloud in that Chromebook space. And so the boot times and the speed are just phenomenal. So I think Alan's experiencing that a little and just wanted to share his experience through this video. So check it out if you're interested in learning more about the Pixel. And then also as follow-up to Wells Tech Conference, I'll share my screen because I have a lot of links to share. As Pastor Steve Daly asked a question about getting started with video creation. He said, after attending Wells Tech Conference, I'd like to dip my toe in the water of video creation. I thought I would start by creating a voiceover Google Slides presentation. And then he just posted this out to our Wells Tech listserv community, which is an awesome place to ask these kind of questions. He said, what tools or methods would this community recommend? And several that came across, someone mentioned Cam Studio, a free video recording software. They also mentioned Record My Desktop, which is for the Linux platform, and Audacity, which you just made mention of in the podcast article that you were talking about, Martin. This is great for audio editing. Then we heard from Jason Schmidt, who said that his recent favorite is a site called MoveNote. It captures your Google Slides presentation and voice. It's all cloud-based and pretty easy to use and can be used with no cost. So I guess maybe there's different levels of access or whatever, but there's a free MoveNote option out there. That's one I haven't experienced, so I may have to try that out.
Yeah, one of the keys there is it's web-based. You don't have to download anything, so. That's pretty cool.
So it would work on your Chromebook, Alan, if you're looking for a web-based video editor. And then finally, we heard from Dr. Jim Grunwald from Martin Luther College, who said he's been using Jing for years and loves it. It's very easy to use, includes a pause button, and the limitations, because it's free, are 5-minute video length, which isn't a bad idea, he says. A lot of times you don't want your videos to go a lot longer than that. So Jing is certainly an option out there for you from our friends at TechSmith. So good feedback from the Wells Tech listserv. If you have questions, I highly recommend that group to ask them because they always have lots to share.
Yep, it's an awesome community. Kind of like Wells Tech Conference 24/7.
there you go.
You can ask those questions. Sally, you found some ministry resources for this week's show.
Well, actually, another breaking news kind of thing, Martin. I'll share my screen
More
and tell you that.
Feedback?
No, it's under ministry resources. Okay. You're right about that. But it just happened like within the last hour or so before the show. We've been waiting and we've been talking about it. Actually, a couple of people have asked and we've shared it on the show the last few weeks that the lectionary Google Calendar that we provide, and there's a link to it, we'll have in the show notes out on the Wells Tech Wiki. We have information about it where it has each Sunday of the church year and has information like the lessons in Psalm, the supplementary lectionary, the prayer of the day, the verse of the day, the hymn of the day, the church year color, all that great information is stored out on the lectionary on Google Calendar. Well, as it turns out, that calendar turns over when the new church year starts right after Thanksgiving, the beginning of Advent. And the new church year, I believe it's church year A coming up for 2015-16. And we always rely on a wonderful contributor, Pastor Jonathan Schrader, who creates that calendar in iCal format. And he shares it out on the Institute for Worship and Outreach's website. And so that just was released today. I was able to download the iCal format and upload it to our Google Calendar. So now our lectionary on Google Calendar is up to date through the end of the next church year in November 2016. So very exciting news, and I know a lot of people are anxious to have that as they're planning for that new church year already. And so it's out there, folks, so take advantage of it.
And not only is it out there, we provide very easy step-by-step instructions how to copy that into your own Google Calendar, filter, and all kinds of cool stuff. So thank you, John, for doing that. Really appreciate your efforts there.
Definitely.
Other ministry resources? I see something else in the map here.
I think we're going to save that one for another day.
Nice tease. I like it.
Yeah. Nope. We always have good stuff to look forward to.
All right. let's go on to our featured video of the week.
And this week we're going to feature a video from our friends at the Heart to Heart. I don't know, would we call it a podcast? They have a regular video release.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Heart to Heart is part of the Forward in Christ magazine. It's a regular parenting feature that's new this year in the Forward in Christ magazine. And our friend Nicole Balza is hosting these video conversations with the authors. And so recently a new one was released. It features a lot of different people. I think she has four or five different guests on the show. That's a lot to coordinate. And they talk about topics including bullying, overprotection, overparenting, and discipline. So lots there for parents to listen to and watch and get to know those authors that are part of that Forward in Christ series. So we'll embed that video right on our show notes page if you haven't watched it yet. It'll be a great opportunity to do so.
If you'd like to contribute to the show, whether they be ministry resources, reviews of websites or products or services of any kind, just ideas for us or just your thoughts on technology and ministry, go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you can kind of see all the different ways, all the social networks that we're on, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, Instagram, the list keeps growing. We're on all of them. You can also just leave a comment on the show that any show that you want there, or send us a voicemail. That'd be awesome if you did that. Go to the listserv, or if you're into email, wellstech@wells.net is at your disposal. So no excuse for not getting that information, and that was information to us, and that was one of the keys coming out of Wells Tech Conference, is let's keep the conversation going. Let's share your experiences, and that's a great way to do it. So please, please do that. Appreciate the contribution in advance. Kelly, that's going to do it. We've got to get our bags packed and meet up in Saginaw, Michigan. That's where the show will be broadcast next week. And we've got some interviews. We kind of like to take advantage of all the collection of people there and some very interesting people lined up. I'm looking forward to having some conversations about technology, ministry, what's going on at convention. Looking forward to that very much. So join us next week. Yeah. Again, that would be 3:00. Live on Tuesday. I forget. I don't know what date that is.
3:00 Central.
3:00 Central, 4:00 Eastern.
There you go.
WellsTechLive.wells.net. You'll see all the information there. So, Sally, thanks once again for all you do. Good talking with you once again. And see you in Michigan. Take care, everybody.
That's right. Safe travels.
Bye-bye.